Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kiwa.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moments so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got a... This is maybe a good time to mention it.
Can you hear the bashing?
Yeah, it's really loud.
So loud.
We may have some background noise in this episode.
We've got a noisy neighbour today.
Yeah, we've got a noisy neighbour today.
So if you hear some strange noises, particularly there's some talk of haunted houses and stuff, and it feels like we've accidentally added a soundscape of haunted
really
house.
Does. It really does.
Not deliberate, but a happy accident.
Happy accident. How are you?
Me? Very well. Very good.
Me? Who else would I be talking to?
The ghosts. I'm good. I've gotten completely obsessed with the trashiest TV show at the moment.
Hit me.
It's called The Summer I Got Pretty.
I saw ads for that.
There's two series of it. I think the second series has just come out, so the first series came out last year. I started watching it last night. It's on Amazon Prime, right? I don't know why I said that, like I'm plugging it, but...
Okay, great. I'm also watching a show on Amazon Prime.
Sponsored by...
Everybody, please watch Outlander. This is not a support... This is not a sponsored post.
We don't have any money. It's the classic thing. It's American teenagers who are about 25 playing 17-year-olds.
Great, I love that. I don't want to salivate over actual teenagers.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But they kind of, they've done it in a nice way where they don't look too old. You know when you're watching a show and
you think that's nice, is it?
No, as in like, it's not unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
So like, it's like, I don't fancy any of them. They look too young, but I'm invested in the show.
Here we go.
It's a love triangle show.
Ugh.
It's a girl, she's now pretty. She wasn't before. She's hit puberty. Over the summer.
But you only see her when she's pretty. You don't have to watch her when she's still
an
argo.
They do some flashbacks, which is so funny because they do that thing where they just get a hot girl and they put glasses and braces on her.
Great, yeah. She's all that.
It's wild. The flashbacks are... And they do it with the guys as well. So, yeah. Like, they're trying to show that at some point these kids were not the hot kids that they are now.
Yeah.
So, this like, they've got this guy with, like, a nerdy cap on and then glasses, but it's like objectively incredibly handsome.
No one can look through glasses.
Nobody can look good when wearing glasses.
No,
and nobody would ever be fanciable.
That's something that the 80s and 90s taught us that I'm so glad are still around.
Yeah. That's it. That's the only way that they differentiate between the hot bit and the not hot bit is that they're both wearing glasses.
Got it.
I love it so much.
Love it.
The premise is that
she's hot now.
That she's hot now, basically. Yeah. This girl and her brother, they spend every summer by the beach with these two boys as well. Their mums are like best friends. And she's got hot, they've got hot, they're all teenagers, puberty's happened, and it's like about these two boys, like.
And there's two seasons of this.
Two seasons of it, yeah. I've got no idea how they could possibly do a second series. I'm so into it.
I love it.
It's so off-brand for me.
It is very off-brand for you. I'm trying to like listen to what you could possibly be interested in.
Do you know what? There's the nice thing about it, and the thing that separates it from the shows that we used to watch when we were young, mm-hmm. is that one of these guys in the love triangle,
yeah.
is just openly bisexual, but it's not a thing at all.
Oh, I love that.
He just goes to a party, kisses a guy, and they talk about him kissing a guy, like hugging a guy.
Like they would have if it had been a girl.
How did it go with that guy last night?
Yeah, that's great.
That's the modern TV we're looking for.
So that one bit of show made you go, this is for me, actually.
This is for me. No.
They've mentioned bisexuality.
I don't know why I'm into it. I don't know. It's not anything that relates to me in any way.
But here's the thing. Like, I watched this show, and I love Mindy Kaling. And she wrote Never Have I Ever.
Yes.
Great show. Or co-wrote. And it's great. Mm-hmm. And, like, it is... I mean, it's similar to what you were describing, which is just, like, you know...
It's that vibe.
It's that vibe. It's very modern. So there's all sorts of people in it. Of all kinds of denominations and sexualities and all that.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. And, like, you don't care.
Races and creeds.
Races and creeds. And you don't care. Like, like, we would have watched that if that was on.
Yeah.
You know?
And it would have been, like, helpful and...
It would have been wonderful just to have a show that was like, obviously there's different kinds of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not all people who are not white are like nerdy and awkward and unsexual.
And in a triangle. The wonderful thing about the triangle, because it's in that show as well, is just like, yeah, it really is just like the easiest.
Amp up the drama.
Oh my God.
We saw it in Twilight.
We saw it in Twilight. But that one wasn't even good.
Really bad, because you knew who won.
You knew who won from the start.
No contest in any way.
Taylor Lautner. Everyone's like, all right.
Yeah, he'd be a nice guy for a different woman.
Yes.
And then in order to resolve the triangle situation, the author panics and goes, he's actually in love with the baby.
He's in love with the baby. I mean, that is the twist of a lifetime.
It is. I don't know how they got away with that twist.
I think that is so good because everything else in this book has been like so like borderline... like creepy and inappropriate.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, yeah, you think that? Well, how about this?
How do you like me now?
She's like, you thought that was creepy and inappropriate? How about he falls in love with a baby?
Hold my beer.
Her best friend gets angry with you and says, what were you expecting? This is why we had a connection. It's because of your baby.
Your inevitable baby that I'm going to marry. And it's nothing to do with you. You don't have a choice. I'm marrying your baby.
And also, like...
I've taken one look at that baby and I know I'm going to marry it.
And also, the whole thing is, like... It's, like, it's not about that. It's, like... It's, like, a different kind of love.
Spiritual connection.
It's, like, a spiritual connection. It's, like...
You shouldn't have any connection with that baby. You should have no connection with the baby, dude. Get away from the baby.
Get away from the baby. Yeah, it's great.
Really good stuff.
Really good stuff.
So that's what I've been up to. The Weezer went away and I just started watching trash TV.
I mean, I thought you were going to be like, I've been watching like this reality show. Because I know you're into some like pretty good reality trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can really get on board with reality trash.
Especially if they do a queer season.
Oh, yeah.
You're all over it.
Nom, nom, nom,
nom. Nom, nom,
haven't
nom,
had
nom,
anything
nom.
Good to get my teeth into with that though. So I've had to go with a largely heterosexual fictional drama.
Yeah. I mean, sounds very largely. Because like one
guy is predominantly heterosexual.
I've been, my favorite gay love stories in the show that, like, I don't know if any, like, I don't care about anything else in the show.
Just a gay love story.
Because it's so good. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's like...
In Outlander, there's a gay...
No. So I've watched this show for ages. It was based on an English show. It was called Shameless.
Oh, yeah.
There's an American version of it that I watched. It ran for like 11 years. And there's a love story that spans the entire 11 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's so good because they pace it out so well. So it's like, it's not the main thing that's happening. It's just like, over like the first three seasons, it's just like a very, like limit. You get a limited amount of time with them. It's just like, occasionally...
Couldn't cope with that.
Occasionally they'll go in and they're just like, And they're all in, they're in the closet, and well, one of them is in the closet and they're fucking, and his dad is like a horrible homophobe, and it's like, yeah. It's like, but it's great because you only really get glimpses of it, and then like they start ramping it up slowly, and like the whole thing, like first he comes out of the closet like the guy with the really homophobic dad, and that's great, so like you have that, mm-hmm. but then like the other character is diagnosed with bipolar. So this guy who just came out of the closet and can finally live free now has to start taking care of his, like, love.
Yeah.
And then he ends up going to prison. And then you don't see him for, like, seasons. For, like, 3 seasons, he's just gone.
This is classic queer love.
In prison.
Yeah.
and then he comes back for, like, the last 2 seasons. He comes out of prison and they sort of, like, fall back in love.
Rekindle.
But it's, like, a whole... It's the best... Like, the rest of the series is, like, whatever. But this is so... I swear. Oh. I read this article one time that was, like, the best gay love story is hidden in a what is it when you watch it? In a guilty pleasure watch.
Oh, really?
And it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, I hate it when a TV show edges you with a love story, though. You know, episode one, you see two characters, you're like, they're going to hook up. And then, like, you're on season 4... And it still hasn't happened, but they've been teasing you the whole time.
But it's the best.
Gilmore Girls is a bit like that, isn't it?
With Luke.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have The Office with Pam and Jim. That takes 4 seasons.
Such a tease.
But it's the best.
Mm.
And But it also, is, these guys are like fucking straight away.
It's the best way to hook me to a show. The promise of love.
Me too. A love story is the best thing.
Yeah.
It's the best thing.
I don't care about action, gore... Drama,
no, me neither.
Fighting, mm-mm. Anything like that. Power, anything like that.
Love, love, love,
a
love
story. If you go, episode 1, you go, these guys are going to fall in love and you're going to watch it and we're not telling you when it's going to happen. I'm in.
Me I'm too. Fully in. I'm such a sucker. And yeah. I just think with gay love stories, like, the stakes are built in often because of how homophobic our society is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, while that's horrible, it makes for some really, really, really good storytelling.
You know, Atypical, have you ever watched that?
No.
It's such a good show. It's about a boy with autism.
Autism, on Netflix. Yes. I have seen the trailers for that.
So, like, the predominant storyline is him sort of managing becoming a teenager and he's, like, getting to the point where he's starting to date and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then his younger sister, episode 1, you're like, that's not a heterosexual person. But right. And then so immediately you're like,
but they don't say it, they tease it.
Yeah, there's gonna be,
yeah,
look at that character.
Look at her,
they're gonna be gay. And then you have to wait because the character, she dates a guy in the first series and you're like, well, okay, maybe we've been duped.
But you weren't.
And then just when you're not expecting it,
yes,
they bring the gay shit out.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm like,
you've got me now.
Nom, 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 nom.
I'll be watching every episode of this until you kill one of the lesbians off.
It's amazing. Is that what they do?
Oh, yeah. You got to kill it.
Oh, you got to kill a lesbian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Otherwise, they'll breed.
Oh, I don't think you know how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing. I, you know who I think... I was about to speak Dutch to you. That's so funny.
Oh.
You know,
because you feel so at home with me.
I feel so at home with you.
That you felt an urge to speak Dutch like I'm a member of your family.
Mm.
Is that what happened?
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I like you way more than my family. the real heroes, I was going to say, are like the people who make compilation videos on YouTube and they cut out all the shit that you don't want to see and just, you know what?
We love a gay supercut.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually think that, as someone who edits, that takes a long time.
It does. It's a lot of dedication.
It's a lot of dedication.
I like that they've moved over onto TikTok now.
YouTube?
No. Just all of these supercuts of gay stuff.
Oh.
It's all on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
You don't even have to go to
YouTube.
I didn't
know that. Grandma's still on YouTube.
Old grandma.
Old grandma still
watching her stories.
Still watching the gay shit on YouTube.
She's typing gay shit into the search bar. Leave me alone. Grandma's watching her videos now. Get out of here. Entertain yourself for a bit. I'm going to watch some gay shit. Bring me my slippers.
Oh my god, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror. Should we get a guest in?
We should get a guest in. A lovely guest today. Very, very funny.
Yeah, wonderful.
Comedian, writer, podcaster.
Person.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Amy Matthews. She's brilliant.
She's wonderful.
We have a good laugh and we talk a lot about ghosts. So if you're inclined to be spooked, strap in.
Strap in.
Strap in. Strap on. Strap up.
Okay.
Let's get her in.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode. Amy Matthews!
Oh, that's very nice.
Welcome.
Oh, welcome.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's a lovely little pocket. Huge. It's a huge spacious pocket. Luxury huge. Area.
It is. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I arrived. I got to the building. I said to Sarah, I'm here. I'm in the building. What floor should I be on? And Sarah replied, oh, it doesn't work like that.
I said, you're not dealing with a rational building, Amy.
And it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not at all.
You have to go up, then across, then around, then down.
That's correct.
Then in.
Then in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we made it.
We made it. We're here.
We did. It's lovely.
We're thriving.
I was shocked you'd made it into the building, actually.
I followed two people in the... I think we're
in. Oh, you were in the building?
I was in the building.
Oh, that's actually really impressive.
Yeah. Really impressive.
Been here since last night. Looking around.
She gave you a badge. Were you a Girl Scout?
Yes. No, I was a Sea Ranger.
What the heck is a Sea Ranger?
So, it's a good question. It's Scouts, but for people who live by the sea. There's basically mine was a group of girls who all were told to dress like naval officers. Yeah, when you say it out loud, that doesn't sound right, does it?
By who? Who told you to do
by
that?
By the lead
Some
Sea
pervy,
Ranger.
Pervy.
She was like the lead Sea Ranger. I've forgotten her name. The captain. I don't know.
And was it always sailors?
Or
was
it so you had the little
school
outfit.
Girls and nurses.
the actual outfit
Sexy Halloween.
Was like a little naval officer. And I think you had to be 11, it was like 11 to 16.
Right.
And it was basically scouts, but you did it by the sea and you learned knots. You learned how to do different knots and every now and then, maybe once a year, they took you out sailing.
Sounds sick.
That sounds really great.
Yeah.
I did all the like, the brownies and guides and things like that. And we never went to the sea, probably because it was your turf.
Yeah, it was my best life. Yeah. We were briefed.
There were lines we weren't allowed to cross.
But yeah, we had a little lanyard and like really creepy stuff.
Yeah, lanyard.
Had a little lanyard.
I like it. I would have loved to be a Sea Ranger.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was very nice.
Can you still tie a knot?
Yeah. One specific knot.
What's the knot?
The knot that everyone can tie when they like do their shoes.
A bow. You can tie a bow.
I can tie a bow.
That won't do you any good. See,
unless I want to make the boat look pretty. I don't know how we got onto the Sea Rangers, actually.
Well, it was because you brought it up.
It's my strong
Excuse
anger.
You. Looking around like it's...
Guys, I wish you would stop talking.
The worst podcast host in the world. That was because you boy. I don't know you boy. I didn't want to know.
Yeah, I'll try and find it. I'll try and find a picture and send it to you guys.
Oh, please. That'd be amazing.
That's very
What age you were you when you were a Sea Ranger?
I was 12. Oh. Yeah, I was 12. So I would say 12 to 13. And then 13, you get different hobbies, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Snogging.
Yeah. Snogging hard.
I was and a snog ranger.
I would have totally signed up to that course.
There wasn't any snogging at Sea Rangers.
Wasn't there? Was there snogging at 13?
There was snogging at 13, yeah. Nice. Big time.
That's quite young to snog, isn't it?
Do you think?
I snogged at 13.
I bet you did.
Sarah just didn't know any Sea Rangers.
Mickey just did the hang loose sign.
Yeah, me and my first boyfriend, Joris.
Keep talking. Keep talking.
I just like saying his name.
Joris.
Yeah.
That was who you were snogging at 13.
Yeah, on the ice.
Snogging on ice.
We went ice skating for a date, and then
that was a thing. That was a thing around my area as well.
Nice.
Yeah, before you were old enough to go and do, other things.
Yeah,
you'd go to the ice rink in Chelmsford.
Oh no, we went on the actual ice.
Oh, you went.
You
on
don't
the
have
lake.
That anymore, probably because of global warming.
Nature's ice rink over here.
Nature's ice rink. Hey, speed skating is the number one Dutch sport, guys.
Is it?
It is, well, winter sport.
Is it proper snogging, though, when you're 13?
There was tongues.
Yeah, there was
tongues. Was there? Yeah. Was it good? Can't have been good.
I think I snogged at 13. I think I probably snogged three boys.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
At the same
not
time?
Not a show. No, three different boys.
Somebody locked that 13-year-old up.
Three it's different like boys. A Love Island
one
vibe.
One dear friend. I'd say no. They were all bad. Yeah, all bad.
One was bad, but I snogged a boy at 14, and he was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so 14's where it's at.
I was like, now we're getting somewhere.
How did your first kiss happen then? Was your first kiss an organic first kiss? I'm looking at both of you.
He'd already kissed somebody. And then, he tried to kiss me before, but I was too nervous.
Mm.
That was in my bedroom.
Oh, that's so
after we'd
sweet.
Gone to the cinema.
Oh.
In Rotterdam.
What did you see?
The big city. What did we see?
Yeah.
God, I have no memory of that, but I remember...
Horton Hears a Who, was it?
What an extraordinary reference.
I always wanted someone to take me to see Horton Hears a Who. Snog me in my bedroom. Even now.
Louisa, if you're listening,
yeah.
Even now, it's the dream.
Sarah has a date idea.
Yeah.
Louisa's like, can we just go to a restaurant?
No. Horton Hears a Who again?
Oh dear.
Oh no. No, yeah, and then we went on the ice, and then I remember there was a real feeling for me, just do it.
Yeah.
Just get it.
Get it done.
Get it done, and then we did it.
You forget how scary
it's scary
that was, or like anything when you're younger that
feels completely unthinkable.
Yeah.
When was your first kiss? This is not our podcast, by the way.
I like it. It's about the sea.
Feels like we should about Sea Rangers and snogging.
Feels like we should be in our underwear. And we're gonna have a pillow fight in a second.
It does.
Yeah.
Tell me about your first kiss. I think it was with a guy called Matt.
Classic.
And we'd known each other a very long time through the primary school system.
That's where you get him, right? That's where Amy got all of her dates. Through the primary school system.
And I remember we kissed each other, and then he'd got tickets, or his mother had got tickets to go and see Simple Minds. I really liked Simple Minds, and I remember
the band.
Ooh. Yeah, not just
Simple Minds.
Just a bunch of people. Bunch of simple minds.
Bunch of the easily pleased.
We're going to watch a bunch of idiots do a talk. Each take it in turns.
They got tickets to go and see Simple Minds. And I was like, oh, I really want to go to that. Because they'd invited me. But the relationship had sort of expired before the concert.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm really in a tiz here because on one hand, I'd love to see Simple Minds. And on the other hand, I don't want to kiss Matt anymore. Yeah. So I think, we sadly broke up and I never got to see Simple. There's your near miss.
There's your near miss.
Get this podcast back on track.
Yeah, finally.
That's my sliding doors moment. Yeah. Married to Matt.
Simple Minds. But I like that, you know. I like that you had the forethought to not go, I will kiss him just so I can see this concert, because I feel like that will bring you down a bad road.
Is that why you stopped dating in the primary school system?
Yeah. I really sort of grew out of it.
Yeah,
I
got to expand my social circle.
That's why I joined the Sea Rangers originally.
Mm.
I thought I'd expand my horizons. He was a Sea Scout, actually.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was a Sea Scout.
Picturing I've just come out of a tricky relationship.
Every Memorial Day parade, we'd sort of like walk past each other, tip our little naval caps.
After that happened, do you think Matt took to the sea?
I don't know if he's... Do you know what? I don't know what he's doing now.
He took to the sea. He was never seen again.
That's the last time anyone saw Matt. They didn't see Simple Minds either. He went off with his canoe.
Great.
His canoe.
The best thing about this lovely thread that we've created between the three of us is the most famous song I can think of Simple Minds is called The Waterfront.
Oh, really?
Isn't that nice?
I don't really know Simple Minds as a band.
I feel like I know one of their songs.
Don't forget about me. That's the end of the Breakfast Club.
Is that Simple Minds? Mm. Oh, well then I do know Simple Minds.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm getting them mixed up with Simple Plan, which is a very different band.
Oh.
A very different band.
I don't know. Do I know Simple Plan?
I hope not. Emo, really? Like, but that kind of like emo-y kind of.
That was my jam for a while after post-snogging Matt era.
Well, why don't we go ice skating and listen to a bit of Simple Plan?
I'll wear my little lanyard.
Feral's yeah.
You can show me your bedroom. As you may know, this is a podcast about life-changing moments. Do you dwell on the things that could have changed your life?
Yes, I think to a chronic degree.
Yes.
But I'm always thinking about sort of like alternate pathways. Like that's basically what my like show is about this year. But also, I also just like completely surrender to the fact I don't dwell on it. So even though like I'm constantly thinking about what could have happened, I just sort of let that be. So it's not keeping me awake.
So you're constantly thinking about it, but you don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so confused.
I'm with
so
you.
Like I think I analyze potential outcomes.
Like parallel universes where your life is different.
Yes, but I don't, I'm sort of irritatingly logical. So I don't compound that with being like, I should have done that or could have done that. Yeah, with any emotion. I'm a robot.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Well, Amy, have you ever had a big near miss experience?
So when I had a little think about this, I was like, what? Yeah, is there anything where I've like either survived something or I've realised that I've lived a very nice life. Like,
great. What a wonderful. Like,
do you know what? I've never nearly died, which is great. That's very nice.
That's
nice.
Good news.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. But I survived a haunted house. I lived in a haunted house for a year.
You're joking.
So I think that counts as like a near miss. I was almost possessed.
I like it. Where are we?
We're in Cornwall.
Cornwall.
It's 2014, 15, something like that. 15, I think.
Cornwall, is that where you're from?
No, I lived there for a few years. And it was like a 18th century fishing cottage. It was like really, really old.
Ghost like, fish. Fish ghosts.
Fish ghosts. Little fishies.
Everything is about the coast with you. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, so it is. Everything's about the coast with you.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so I lived in this creepy house with two guys and a gal, and the four of us lived together. And when we first moved in, we were students, so we were sort of coming in dribs and drabs. And Sam was the first to move in, and I joined a couple of days later. And I went to bed and woke up, and my door was open. But like, you know, that's a thing. It's a new house, drafty, all that business. Could be anything. And I just quite casually said to Sam, I was like, oh, my door was open this morning. And his face dropped, which is never good.
No.
And he said, that it happened to you as well.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, my sister stayed in your room when we moved in, and she complained of the same thing. But again, that could just be like, that's like a faulty door. Like, that could just be a thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a loose latch.
Totally. Yeah, and a draft. And as I say, really old house, all made of, like, wood. Like, yeah. It's like a really, really old house. So didn't think anything of it. And then Sam left to go back to his house, and then his family home. And then my friend Seb moved in, and we were both on the ground floor, Seb and I. So there's the door, and then my bedroom on the right-hand side, Seb's bedroom next to mine, and then the kitchen out the back. We went to bed, and as we were going to bed, I heard what sounded like, you know, there's a very specific sound to flip-flops. Like this, it sounds unlike anything else.
Yeah.
Like flip-floppy walking. I heard flip-flops walk past my door, past Seb's door and into the kitchen, to the point where I thought, we have an intruder. Like I froze.
Right.
Because I was like, we're being burgled.
Yeah.
I completely froze, which is a damning indictment of how I'd behave in an actual intrusion. Just sort of like completely froze to my bed. And then I heard Seb get up, leave his room, walk into the kitchen to go and check. And then he just went straight back to bed. So I thought, well, that must be fine.
Yeah.
Then in the morning I said, did you hear, I heard you sort of go and check in the kitchen. And he was like, yeah, I heard sort of someone walk through. And I was like, yeah, like in flip-flop, it was like, or like Birkenstocks or something, that kind of like really particular sound. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. Again, new house, you don't quite know where sound is coming from. Don't think anything more of it, but it wasn't a nice feeling. Like I did genuinely feel like there was like someone had walked through our house. It was really scary. And then
and other people weren't living with you at this point.
No, it was just Seb and I at the time.
Yeah.
And then his family came the following day to help him move all of his stuff in, and Seb had a piano in his room. A little one.
Ghosts love playing piano.
Ghosts love it. Well, no, Seb loved playing piano, so he was playing the piano. And as he was playing the piano, he was saying to his sister, stop it. The sister was tugging on Seb's belt loops as he was playing piano. And he was just playing, just went, stop it, please stop it. And then it stopped. And then he turned around and said, G, stop it. And she wasn't there, she wasn't in the room. She was in the kitchen and went, what? Like from the kitchen. So he was feeling this like tugging on his belt, you know, like your like loop on the back of your jeans.
I know what tugging feels like.
You know what tugging feels like. You're familiar with a tug?
I'm really sorry. I did lower the tone.
Morning, Sarah.
Look straight at Mickey like.
So basically there was a lot of tugging. Yeah. And then Seb mentioned that. I was like, oh, that's horrible. That's really unpleasant. And then Seb and I went home, and Sam moved back in, the upstairs one. And I got a call from him. I was back in Essex at this time. And I got a call from Sam saying, I can hear a woman singing downstairs.
Jesus.
And every now and then the chair's pulled out in the kitchen. I can hear it. I can't leave my room. I don't know what to do. It's petrifying.
No.
So I just said, okay. He was like really in a tears. And I said, right.
What was she singing?
She was some Usher.
Yeah, yeah. Terrifying. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A I can hear a woman rapping downstairs.
Terrifying.
Yeah, something about making money moves.
She's
singing
Pitbull. She's rhyming Kodak with Kodak.
Red one.
Well, that is horrible.
Yeah, so I said to Sam, I was like, right, leave your room, put all the lights on, and just get out of the house, run. And that's exactly what he did. He went and stayed with his friends who lived a couple of roads away until Seb and I and Maddie got back. And then when we got there, it was so unnerving that we went to next door and said, this is going to sound mad, but have you ever experienced anything in your house? To which Wendy, who lived next door, said, without batting an eyelid, oh, you mean the little boy?
Oh, for fuck's sake, which... Wendy.
So we were like, what do you mean? And she said, oh yeah, he runs between the two houses. We've seen him in the upstairs window a couple of times because we thought it was our grandson for a bit. And then when we called our grandson out, and then the little boy was still there. But it's very playful. He just likes to run up and down the stairs and things. And I was like, okay.
Does he wear flip-flops? Have you ever seen him wearing flip-flops?
Have a pair of having
on. Just want to check we're talking about the same boy.
And then, like, the more we thought about it, we were like, okay, it's all quite playful stuff. Like, the belt loop stuff is very, like, what a kid would do.
Yeah.
And a woman singing would sound like a little kid singing, like a really sort of high-pitched, playful thing. Again, the sort of pulling out chairs is very, like, it's just playful.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's playful. I love it.
So we were, but it was so unnerving. It was genuinely really scary to the point where this is such a low point in one's life when you have to email an estate agent saying, can we get out of our tenancy agreement because we're scared of the little boy who lives with us?
Because there's a ghost.
Because there's a ghost. I've probably got it on my phone. No where way. we had to say, like, I'm really sorry. A picture of the ghost. We're like, we're really sorry, but like, we don't think we can live here. Like, none of us are sleeping. We're petrified. There's all this stuff that's happened.
And I'm sure the estate agents were perfectly reasonable about that, weren't they?
They
were
like,
absolutely no problem.
They
will pay you to leave.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. So we emailed the estate agent. Was like, we really don't know if we can live here for a year. Like, none of us are sleeping. It's really terrifying. And the reply is... I thought it best to write a group email and contact you all at once with regards to the reports that we received yesterday. I understand that my colleague spoke to you with regards to some strange goings on at the property. I've been doing this job for 10 years and this is the first time I have ever had such reports from tenants. I'm a bit of a skeptic with regards to these sort of matters. This is not a valid legal reason to break a tenancy.
Shocking. Shocking.
Oh my god. What did you say in the email? Did you say we think there's a ghost boy, or did you say there's some strange goings on?
We said, I think we just said we think the place is haunted.
Yeah.
Which is a little, like, that's so, no one wants to do that. It's so embarrassing.
No.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's and not, you don't leap to that immediately. No.
Well, so next move, CC and Wendy.
So. Well, Wendy's been here for years.
I'm looping you in with Wendy.
Circling
who
back
has in fact seen the boy.
Thought it was their grandson for a bit.
Yeah, it says he runs between the houses.
So, okay. Yeah.
So if we can't get rid of him, can we at least organise him paying rent?
And then this paragraph, I don't think I realised at the time how funny this is. We did speak to Sam yesterday, who said he was going to stay in the property last night because he'd been staying with pals. Because he couldn't be in there. He's like, we did speak to Sam yesterday who said he was going to stay in the property last night and report to us today if there had been any further problems. But I haven't heard from him.
That's so sinister. That is so sinister. Yeah. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's thriving.
Okay, great.
Oh, really thriving.
It's good to hear.
But yeah, so
he didn't join the little boy.
He didn't join the little boy.
Now they're roaming the properties together. Yeah.
And it really mellowed. Probably a couple of weeks in, everything really settled down. There was no, like... there's no weirdness. And then right at the end of the year, we had it was a day that we had a viewing for like the next round of students to come and look at the property, and I was home by myself, and I heard suddenly like quite sort of aggressive tapping on the stairs.
Yeah.
And it really creeped me out. As I say, I was like in the house by myself, but nothing had happened for months. So, you know, it was like a weirdly unnerving thing. But I put the radio on and just shut my door. I was like, I'll just pretend that's not happening. Didn't say anything about it. Then Seb got back later that night. And we both went to bed in our bedrooms. And I got a text from Seb just before bed saying, I thought you said Sam was staying at his girlfriend's tonight. I said, yeah, he is. He's at Lily's. Oh, and he went, no, he's upstairs. I can hear him walking around. He's just sat at his desk. I said, I promise you.
This is classic ghost stuff.
And I said, I promise you he's not. And Seb was like, I promise you he is. I'm going to go up and see him. And he went upstairs and obviously Sam was at his girlfriend's.
Oh, no.
We were so scared. We stayed in the same room.
Oh,
we were
no.
so like absolutely petrified. And when we look back on it, we were like, it's weird that that was the same day that I heard this tapping. I hadn't mentioned it to anyone. And it was like, it was almost as if every time there was like a shift, there was a change in the house of like these, you know, that we'd had a viewing that day. So there was like a sort of changing of the guard kind of thing happening. There was like a flurry of activity.
Do you reckon?
That's my theory. But also, I mean, logically, as I say, I'm a very, very logical person.
Yeah. I think it was at Wendy's.
I think it was at
I think you were staying at Wendy's for a bit.
It was just so weird. So like on reflection, I have to remind myself how scared I was, because it's so easy to go, I know, oh, that was probably like this thing, that thing. But it honestly felt like there was... As I say, I thought we were being robbed the first time. Like it was like a person. It was so mad.
That is horrible.
Yeah. So I survived the haunted house. The
only thing that makes it fall apart for me really is just the idea that this ghost has got flip-flops on is tricky to comprehend.
Yeah.
Oh, why? I like it. That it's not a Victorian one for once. I like that it's one from the 90s.
Little beach boy.
Yeah. A little beach boy. Yeah, I could hear his Lilo every night. squeaking about.
The Tamagotchi last night.
Yeah. I like that. For once. It's nice.
Yeah. Something different. There's a slinky down the stairs. That's what that sound was.
You wake up in the night, you hear, what's up?
Do you have any, I mean, we heard one in the beginning, but do you have any sliding doors moments?
It's weird that, like, my brain went to, like, comedy, like, what made me do...
Yeah, we like those.
And it's really, I think, like, you've, yeah, a lot of your guests have said
this. But we like them.
And I think that, realistically, is the fact
that... We've never had a flip-flop ghost, so don't worry about originality.
You don't have to worry about your originality. You've already smashed it.
But, yeah, I never wanted to do comedy. It was all like a very happy accident. You know, get loads of people that are like, oh, I grew up obsessed with it. Yeah, and like, it's all I wanted to do. And then I finally, it was all a lovely, silly accident. Yes. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. So I was like, you know, this has all been a lovely accident. But when I think about, oh, is there like a thing, like a moment where I was like, oh, maybe that's the sort of performer's high that you're chasing. I think it was when I was about, I think I was 9 or 10 in my primary school nativity, in the prime of my kissing career.
Yeah.
That was the prime.
The prime. Yeah. But Dal Hills was there.
13 was actually, you're on the way out.
But that's when you just do the kissing.
Yeah.
So that's when it's like,
also,
that's like
just
full sex basically for a 13-year-old.
It's true. Clip that up.
Full
sex for a 13-year-old.
But also, kissing's so underrated.
Oh,
like,
I love it.
Just like, kissing people, so fun.
Yeah,
it is good fun, isn't it?
It's really great.
It's sad that you start doing it less. The longer you're in a relationship, the more you should kiss.
It's just fun to kiss.
Well, but with the making out, like you like peck, but the making out bit of it goes away.
Yeah. Whereas, like, like getting off with someone's really fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It's hard to like find the right time to do it in a long term relationship.
It starts feeling pretty ridiculous. Like. Just like, why are we doing this now?
Do you want to go and make out my car?
Yeah.
Louisa's like, that's our car.
Yeah.
No,
it's
we
like,
have a flat.
It's still part of like, it's obviously still part of full sex.
Mm.
Full sex for adults.
Spoken like a fucking virgin.
No, but what were you talking about? I've had full sex.
Full sex for adults.
I've had full sex for adults, Sarah. What the fuck?
Amazing. Kiss it. So yeah, I can't believe we've managed to steer this back to kissing. But yeah, so in my, I think I was about 9 or 10, our school nativity was being cast. And I was cast as, drum roll please, Rodney Trotter.
The worst sorry, drum roll.
That was horrible.
The worst drum roll. Sarah just, they just kind of like smacked the side of their leg. And I fingered the table. Yeah, and, that's how we did.
Yeah, it was really horrible.
It's horrible.
Sexual drum roll we could have created. Horrible noise.
Right. Oh, yes.
He was cast as Rodney Trotter.
Rodney Trotter.
Mickey, are you familiar?
Again? No.
Okay.
Is this another Brum?
Where did he feature in the nativity?
I brought the myrrh, I think.
Off the back of the myrrh. I don't even know, but the three wise men are actually Del Boy, Uncle Elba. And Rodney Trotter. So are you familiar with Only Fools and Horses? The 80s sitcom?
I have.
That everyone's dads love?
I have some knowledge of it, I guess. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why.
So Rodney Trotter, Nicholas Lyndhurst, was the quite kind of, how do we describe Rodney?
A bit dopey, wasn't he?
A dopey, tall man.
Yeah, dopey, tall man, bit of an idiot.
Yeah, and... yeah, they cast it. Basically, my teacher wanted to zhuzh up the nativity.
Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, they thought
we need more men in here.
Yeah.
It lacked men.
What the protagonist was Admiral Nelson. Looking back on it, I think my teacher was like doing quite a lot of drugs.
As in Jesus.
Yeah, there was a...
Admiral Nelson.
There was a B-plot narrative where Admiral Nelson was like also about... We just don't know.
Admiral Nelson was a top shagger.
Was he?
Yes.
Really?
I've read something.
That's nice.
I've read something. I don't know where. I don't know from what archives I'm pulling this.
Why are you so like you fucked him?
I feel like I read something about he had like a mistress.
A top shagger.
He had a mistress and she was this sort of like arty lady. And like they
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway. And they were trying to get like get him divorced so that they could marry, but they were like basically like of the society. You know how we like celebrate celebrities now.
That's Anne. Her actual name was Anne Hathaway.
Oh wait, you do remember this?
I'm not talking about the Princess Diaries. Yeah.
No, but I thought that was Shakespeare's wife.
It is. So Anne Hathaway, Shakespeare's wife, was also in the Nativity.
And she was also shagging Nelson.
And was involved. And then...
At least it was a place of education.
And Doctor Who.
These children's minds are like sponges.
Doctor Who makes sense. Doctor Who. Brings all the timelines together.
Well, was it. So, like, I mean, to be fair to the teacher, they
whatever crack he was smoking.
Yeah.
Which Doctor
was
it?
Narratively sound. I was successfully cast as Rodney Trotter.
Yeah.
I think I had lines in that was, and I think I was only cast, but bear in mind.
Rodney Trotter got lines?
This is big time. Bear in mind, I went to a school in Essex. I was maybe the only person who went to school that didn't have a broad Essex accent, and they still cast me as the East Ender. So I had to put on like an East London accent whilst being tall, lanky man, because I've been this height basically since year six. Like, wow. I just stopped it. I was really, really tall and really tiny.
How are you kissing anybody?
I was going
to climb you like a pole.
Yeah. Bring a little step with you. Here you go, love.
Throw me, boys.
And I think, because that was, I think, maybe like the first time where I was like, oh, people are laughing at like a thing I've said, like our grown-ups are laughing.
That's powerful, yeah.
Yeah, at like me playing this, and I think, yeah, it was great that I felt silly.
And but you could
like
tell it was the right laugh.
It was the right kind of laugh. So I reckon that
you were in control.
Had that not happened,
so every time you watch Fools and Horses, I assume when you get home every night,
yes, you know me.
You look at Rodney Trotter and you're just like, thank you, my man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
Your first agent.
My first.
Your first agent.
My first Rodney agent. Trotter. Mr. Queenborough.
Do you remember your first, like, when you first got a laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6th of April, 1993. The day I was born.
Okay.
Came out swinging.
Never mind. Back to Amy.
Came out and said, give me a cheer if you're drinking.
Any couples in?
And your mum was like, yeah, obviously I've been drinking. I'm hallucinating you speaking.
How long have you guys been together? Got any kids? Well, two just now, is it?
So not only were you doing crowd work, you were doing shit crowd work.
I was doing classic crowd work with my parents.
Yeah, yeah, great.
That's nice. That's really nice. Mm. Yeah, so I think that's probably...
That's what got you into stand-up.
Who's to say?
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for telling us those stories.
Really good stories. All right.
Really lovely.
You're very welcome. It's
been
a pleasure.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Do you have anything to plug?
I am doing a Fringe run, if this goes out before then. It's called I Feel Like I'm Made of Spiders.
Great.
Yeah, so if you've enjoyed this quite harrowing insight into the way my brain works. There's an hour of it happening.
Where
at 3
are
o'clock.
You? What time?
3 o'clock every day at Monkey Barrel, the Tron.
The Tron,
they've taken over the Tron and it's lovely. I'm very excited. So yeah, I'm going to be doing that for the whole month.
I'm going.
Yeah.
To watch the show. No, I wasn't interrupting you going. And I'm going to. And I'm no, I'm going to go and watch
it. What a great time to plug your show.
But also, forget about that.
Come on, Sarah. You fuck yours as well.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch Amy.
I'm
going to go watch Sarah.
All right.
Mickey.
No.
You've also been here.
It's not it.
Mickey, I'm also going to go see yours.
Where can people follow you on the old social media?
Oh, at Amy F. Matthews on all things, I think.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'll be cutting about online.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Been an absolute pleasure.
Goodbye.
Absolute pleasure. Goodbye.
Amy Matthews.
Hey, that was Amy Matthews, everybody. A lovely time.
Lovely time was had by all. Hope you enjoyed.
I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe that.
It was a lovely time?
It was a lovely time. I believe that it was a lovely time.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but I don't believe in ghosts.
Oh, should we do a disclaimer? I don't believe in ghosts either.
Really?
No.
But you were taken in by that story.
I think you have to yes and the guest.
Okay. So you just heard us humouring Amy for a while.
Well, I think like that's their experience. I don't think it's up to me, who's never been to that house and who hasn't had that experience, to go, well, Amy, that sounds like a load of crap.
Would have been a shit podcast if you'd gone, I call bullshit, Amy. Sorry, I call bullshit. Just going to shut you down here.
But it is interesting. It's like it is mysterious, and I would want to know why that was happening.
Yeah. I want to know why too.
And I also like, it's not like it was a flat. It was a house.
It was a house. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm sure people would be like, well, was it a detached house?
These are fancy ghosts, aren't they?
But then I also read this thing, which is like, I think this is so interesting. It's like, we don't know where sound comes from. Like your ears cannot detect what bit. So like your other senses help with like figuring out where sound is coming from.
But like sniffing and stuff.
Like, why would you go to smell?
So you sniff the sound out.
Like, because we know the layout of this room.
Yeah.
We'll assume that like things are coming from the door. But if you didn't know and you just had the same amount of sound, that's why like the man next door who makes the noises, sometimes it sounds like it's coming from above you.
Because we sniffed him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's time to end this podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Please sign up to our Patreon. As always, thank you to our Patreons who already have.
Thank you so much, patrons. We really appreciate it. We can't tell you enough.
Yeah. We need you more than you probably understand.
We need you so much more than you need us.
Yeah, we need you so much more. You have so much power that you're not using.
Yeah, you have rescued us from the gutter.
We
love you very much.
We love you. So thank you. Come to our shows. Come to Edinburgh.
We'll plant kisses on your head.
Okay. Well, we all know what this is going to turn into, so I'll just quickly say, please come see our Edinburgh shows both me and Sarah will be there.
I will sniff you. It's the census song.
Oh, and please buy tickets now because my agent thinks that if people don't pre-book, no one will come.
Sniff, sniff. Sniff your way to Mickey's show.
There it is.
Sniff your way to Mickey's show.
And when you look at me holding a microphone, figure out if you can tell where the sound is coming from.
Yeah. And use your nose, boys.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. goodbye.
What are you doing without any kind of catchphrase?
Because I'm so worried that you're going to make it gross.
What? Why would I make it gross? You've got to do the catchphrase. How will I know it's over?
You'll hear us next time.
Yeah, you will, you dirty bitches.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Kavanagh.